Here's the, put your headset on, otherwise you won't be able to hear him. Here's the managing general of the Toronto Blue Jays. Here's Alex Anthopoulos. Tikanis.
Hello, I'm really sorry I'm late. The game went longer than expected, and I had to handle something in the clubhouse after the game, and I normally would have been on time. So I sincerely apologize. I don't like being late.
No, it's okay. Well, you don't have to apologize. Don't suck
up. I'm sure you were killing me before.
No, I wasn't killing you.
Okay, okay.
Except for that shot that he gave you about the you're not watching the Greeks play soccer because they aren't.
It actually isn't a bad line.
You're welcome.
But hey, you know what? They got to round two, so something to be said for that.
12 restaurants went up for sale yesterday on the Danforth. Did you know that? Because they were banking on another couple of games.
Hear those comments.
You can get souvlaki for about 80 cents now, right now, on the Danforth now.
I can imagine. I didn't get a
prices have gone down.
Get out there, but I can imagine the atmosphere was probably pretty insane during the games.
Dollar a shot for Uzo. I'm using up all the Greek stuff I can
keep
think
them coming.
Of.
Yeah. Keep the one-liners coming.
So what were you doing in the clubhouse you had to deal with?
I can't say. Nothing.
No, you can't come on. You can't come on and say you did something in the clubhouse, then say, but I can't tell you what it is.
I did the apology thing before. It got me off the hook.
No.
The team's going on the road. I'm not going to be on this first leg of the trip. And they're heading out, and we just needed to handle some things with the roster, all that kind of stuff. We're a six-man pen, so Cecil comes back on Friday, and we've got some pending moves and some other things going on, and just needed to get some I's dotted and T's crossed before the team left.
Who'd you send down?
Didn't send anybody down.
Oh, okay.
Today.
All right.
Today we didn't know. There will be no moves announced tonight.
Alex, when was the last time you actually said something that got you off the hook with Bob?
You know what? You're right. You know what? I don't think anyone can say anything to get you off the hook. But I do. I know when you make commitments and you don't say I stiffed them. But
no, you
I don't
didn't.
Even know what time, to be honest with you, what time I was supposed to be on. I just know that I was in this meeting and my phone is blowing up saying, you're supposed to be on the radio, you're supposed to be on the radio. And then Ryan Walsh called me too. So
yeah, it's all right. It's okay. We were just chatting here and okay.
Bob was filling time by telling you who you should be trading for.
So what do you got?
Well, I mean, the distress that you have is that, you look at Tampa. Tampa win again today? They win?
I hope so.
Yeah, well, they're up 5-3, I think.
Good.
They're winning?
Parity.
Okay.
Parity's good.
I mean, 9.5 out. Kansas City, not an also-ran. It makes
The AL's tough. Every team's tough. You don't take any of them lightly. You know, everyone is, whether they're below 500, they all scare you. They all can beat you at any time. So a lot of games left.
Well, it makes it more difficult because, generally speaking, you're looking for teams that have a stud or two, but either because they're going to be free agents or because they got to make some roster moves, they're the most likely candidates to do deals with. And you wonder whether a guy like Shields or a guy like Price is now, at least today, you can't talk to either Kansas City or Tampa about them.
Yeah, I can't speak specifically about players, but I would say it's fair to say, generally speaking, I think clubs try to wait as long as they can before they have to make a decision if they're going to be trading players away, especially for prospects, things like that. So, not being specific about those players, but I think it's fair to say no one wants to take away players from their big league team too early, especially anybody can get hot. I mean, you look at what the Royals did after the trade deadline last year. They got scorching hot, and they were right there in September, and they couldn't get they couldn't finally get in. But I think they had the highest win total they've had in 20-something years, and they had a great year. So I think it's as much as people might be clamoring to make deals today and think, wow, you should just overpay for a deal today. In a lot of cases, there's no deal to overpay for because clubs just will not engage for various reasons. It's just too early. If anything, they'll be willing to go scout the affiliates and have dialogue and find out who you like and what you want to do and who you might make available. But that's for the most part as far as it goes, other than maybe one or two clubs that are willing to do something early. But for the most part, almost all of them prefer to wait.
Bob did put a moratorium for you. He bans you from trading with the Cubs because he says they suck and he doesn't want any players off a team that sucks.
That's right. I don't want you to do any deals with the Cubs.
Well, I think every team has good players, so I don't know that you can eliminate any avenue in terms of acquiring players. Look, there were times where we had Roy Halladay here and we weren't playing well. And respectfully, Bob, if you take that attitude, we were last year and you'd take Encarnacion or Batista or guys like that. So.
Yeah, but that's Toronto. I'm talking about the Cubs.
Right.
So we're talking about two lifetimes of incompetence. We're not talking about a few months of not playing well. And I blame all the current Cub players for the last 100 years, by the way.
Everyone has good players. I mean, it's hard enough to make deals.
Hey, Alex, on another note, how cool is it to go to the park now and the home games and see the atmosphere and see the buzz and even the 25,000, 26,000 that were there today for the walk-off? You know, a lot of people are saying it's been a long time since there has been this type of buzz, you know, about the team at this point in the season. I know there was a lot prior to last season when you made the moves, but, you know, it's got to be pretty cool for you to feel the vibe that's going through the Rogers Centre right now.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I think really the last few years, whether it's getting the uniforms back, and I was not a fan of the black and silver, and we weren't the Raiders, and just seeing the growth of the club, and you know, and like you said, we didn't have a good year last year with expectations, but some of the, you know, the star players that we've added, but you see it across the ballparks when we go on the road. Last year especially, there's Blue Jays fans all over the place, just seeing people in the city wearing hats, wearing gear, just the amount, it just seems like people are following the players, the organization so much more. I mean, I'm at minor league games now at our affiliates, and the fans that come up to me, and they're coming down to see the prospects, and it's exciting because there's people becoming baseball junkies so much that they want to go try to see the prospects and see the game. So, you know, all that said, we definitely are. I think internally in the front office, we're getting caught up in any of it because you realize we're only halfway there, and things can change so fast. So, you sit there and you worry more than anything else, and you're constantly thinking about, you know, how do we make this spot better? How do we make that spot better? And I don't know that you ever really enjoy it. I haven't been doing this long enough or experienced it. Probably ask guys like Pat Gillick or Gord Ash that went through the World Series years. You know, maybe you only enjoy it if you get to the playoffs, and then you can kind of look back. But while you're going through it, there's just a lot of things going on, and you're constantly worrying, just trying to make sure you keep winning games.
Give us an update on Brandon Morrow.
He removed his, it was like a thumb brace a little bit, and he threw, and he felt a little discomfort with it. So he's going to keep it back on for a little bit longer. But again, we're projecting after the All-Star break, he'll be in Florida. That would be the plan. And at some point there, he'll start throwing some bullpens. And, you know, hopefully we're thinking right now early August by the time he would be back. And I'm assuming no setbacks or anything like that at all. So that would kind of be the game plan. But the fact that he's getting close to throwing off a mound after the break is certainly a really good thing.
Before I let you go, given that he doesn't come back until after the trade deadline, how does that impact on any decision you would make with regard to the starting rotation? And you know why I'm asking this, because if Morrow came back, let's say hypothetically the middle of July the middle of July, and you had a look at him, and he was, you thought, what we all hoped at some point he would be, it could change dramatically your perspective on the starting rotation.
Yeah, I would agree. I just, unfortunately, doesn't sound like there's any scenario that he'd be back and stretched out.
Yeah.
Start games. So, you know, right now, you know, the evaluation, we're going to wait to get as much information as we can, but, you know, we have to move forward, and you know, we're evaluating it based on what we have right now. And because you don't know if Brandon needs a little longer, he needs another week or something. But again, we're definitely going to be aware of it. And the closer we get to the trade deadline, those days leading up, especially that last week, just to see how he's coming out of the bullpens, how's he feeling, what's his arm strength like, all those type of things. And if he's really starting to progress and he looks like he's going to turn the corner and be back soon and be an impact for us, you might gamble a little bit if you're trying to make a decision and you have a tough call to make on a trade. He certainly can factor. So, but I just don't know that we're going to have enough of an answer by that time. I hope so.
Yeah,
but,
I understand.
There is a scenario.
Real quick, two things. Hoffman, Pentecost, you signed both of them. Your two first-round draft choices.
Yes.
Way to go. That's an achievement. And yes. Which of those two are we likely to see first?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I'd say Hoffman is going to need a little time, obviously, just rehabbing from Tommy John. He's seven weeks post-op today. Got an update. And, you know, they said he's, for being 7 weeks out, he looks good. Pentecost, we're hoping to send to the Vancouver Canadiens maybe late next week. He's getting his passport right now and needs to just start taking batting practice, get back into game shape, and we'll come out to Vancouver. And if he does well, if he just does okay, he'll probably stay there. If he does really well, maybe we'll talk about sending him to the Arizona Fall League. Maybe he goes to the Florida State League. Maybe he goes to New Hampshire like we did with Stroman. That's all going to be dependent upon his performance, or he might just stay with the Canadiens. So we like to get guys starting with the Canadiens just to give them that exposure to Canada, Sportsnet, just the whole Blue Jays buzz. It's a great environment.
And lastly, Aaron Sanchez is, I know the organization has suggested it's not unreasonable to think that we may see him before this year is out. What would you rate the chances?
I'd say after his last start, which I was just at, they're starting to really improve. And I don't know that he was on the radar really for us about a month ago, but
I know
he's made some adjustments. He's got his arm slot a little bit up, his angles up, and now he's throwing a lot more strikes and he's getting downhill playing. So I think if you see him have another good outing the next time out, which will be Saturday, he'll be strongly, strongly in the mix in some type of role at some point if we have a need.
Thanks, Double A. Have a good night.
Thanks, right, Alex.
Talk to you soon.
Okay, guys. Thanks.